Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Michelle Reeves is an urban strategist with extensive experience in revitalizing mixed-use districts, placemaking, retail leasing, development consulting, and project management. She has a consulting firm in Portland, Oregon, Civilis Consultants, and she has just spent the last year working with the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, fondly known as ADHDA, looking at revitalization in downtown Astoria. And a little bit, we have her today here by phone, but before I say hello to Michelle, I just want to give you all a little background on her consulting firm, because I think it's very interesting what she does, and I want you all to understand a teeny bit more about that before we talk with her. And that is, Civilis Consultants is a boutique consulting practice that takes a holistic approach to improving places by leveraging their existing strengths. The cornerstone of Civilis approach is to always work from the perspective of what makes economically successful and vital places. They examine a place's entire landscape, no matter if they're just considering downtown revitalization or determining the best location for a public plaza. Because Michelle feels that successful places are always complex intersections of infrastructure, economics, land use policy, transportation concerns, public spaces, demographics, and marketing. Everyone has been extremely impressed by this dynamic and very talented person. Hello, Michelle Reeves. Are you on the phone?
I am on the phone.
Excellent. Well, we are glad to have you here on the program today. And thank you for all the hard work you have done for this community. And I know that you gave a presentation last week. We will talk a little bit about that. We'll talk about some things in the upcoming report, which will be coming out on the 15th. But first, let's introduce our listening audience to Michelle Reeves. Please tell us about you, about your life.
Well, I had sort of an unusual upbringing, I would say. I was definitely raised by wanderers, and I grew up all over the West Coast, including Hawaii. Both my brother and I have continued sort of that wandering. So I've lived in Asia and Europe and South America, as well as all over huge chunks of the United States. So it's interesting how I think the wandering gene gets inherited. So I think a lot of people don't know, actually, I went to high school on the Oregon coast. And so for me, it's really lovely to be back in these communities that I grew up in the early 80s. So I remember going to Astoria when it was one of the only three movie theaters in several counties. So it's really amazing for me to see the changes that have happened in Astoria. And it's such an incredible opportunity and really an honor to be able to come back and help some of the communities that I grew up in. So.
And Michelle, when Dulcie Taylor is the president of the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, and she is a real mover and shaker in this community, and she obviously reached out to you. Someone called you last year, and what did Astoria Downtown Historic District Association wish to work with you on? What was the project they had in mind?
Well, I think they had heard about some of the work that I had done in Hillsborough, downtown Hillsborough. And so really when they first called me, they, which I think is very refreshing, they just said, you know, we're here, you're doing interesting work, and we'd love to talk to you about our downtown and what we have, and is there a way that we can collaborate? And as we got to know each other better, they were very thorough in vetting me. You know, we kind of mapped out a plan to work together, which started last summer with the local panel that we did and the presentation that I gave and culminated in this building blocks program. And the key or the goal was really to see how to improve economic performance in downtown.
Economic performance so that, and when we talk about revitalization of a downtown, which a lot of people think is it's already quite vital, however, we can certainly always improve on that, and economic development is a huge key factor. And it's not just for out-of-towners or tourists. We're talking about for people who live here,
yes,
about making the downtown user-friendly and so that they really are, it is economically viable downtown.
Yeah. No, and I think that's actually really key. So the strongest part of downtown Astoria's brand, of Astoria's brand as a whole, is that it's a working river town. It's a real place. It's not a beach town. When you go eat out in Cannon Beach, you're very unlikely to be sitting by somebody who actually lives full-time in Cannon Beach. And that is not the case when you're in downtown Astoria. And so a lot of change has been happening to Astoria. And one of the things that we're trying to look at is, you know, economic times have shifted. The economic base of Astoria has changed. Tourism has become a much bigger industry than it was even 10 years ago. So part of what we're looking at is how do you manage that change instead of have it just happen to you? And we definitely want to keep that, you know, sort of the core of what makes Astoria special, which is it's a real place. With real people who are in it. It is not just second homes, and it is not just tourists. It's a place where people go and visit the fabric of this incredible community, and that's what you want to maintain. And a part of that is making sure downtown is still relevant to the people who live there.
Exactly, and that people who live here shop downtown, and that they go to the art galleries, and that they wander there. So what are the ways that then you engage the community? What are the ways that you can improve upon what we already have?
Well, there's I talked about some of them in my presentation, and the report coming up has lots more, and I could probably sit here and talk for hours if my voice would hold up about all of the things you could be doing, because you do have such a tremendous base to work from. So if you want, I can... do you want me to sort of recap a little bit about...
Yes, if you would please, for those listeners who aren't familiar with your work and with the presentation mm-hmm. that you made, you created a report, you've done a study, and so let's talk about that.
So some of the sort of the big picture things that I want people to think about, and I use this metaphor that downtown is sort of like a store. It operates like a single store. Small downtowns operate that way. And so I want people to think about some of the basics of their store. What do their front doors look like? How does somebody know that they're in downtown? What like lets you know that you're here? It's not always great to have a state highway going through your downtown, but if you have all that traffic going through your downtown, how are you drawing it? How do you get those people to pull over and spend some time or some money in your downtown? So that's one of the things that we talked about, is just how you feel as you're going into downtown. Do you notice that you're there? And does it give you a sense of, this is a place I want to stop and hang in? We talked about the aisles and the circulation in downtown. So two-way streets are a little bit tricky, or two-way streets are really ideal. Original two-way street grids that historic communities have are actually incredibly valuable because they're very efficient. You can get from one place to any other place very easily as long as there are two-way streets. So you guys actually have this interesting problem in that you're funneling a lot of people through your downtown, but with your one-way street grid, you're making it very frustrating for any sort of visitor to explore on an impromptu basis. So two-way streets are going to make your street grid much easier to use, and that will make people get off the couplet a little bit more and free that up so there's a little bit more flow through. So,
why do people do one-way streets in the first place? I mean, what's the point? Why do they think those are better somehow?
So it's kind of interesting. Post-World War II, we really tried to reshape our cities around cars. And before that, we designed them so that they were efficient for a variety of transportation means, streetcars, cars, horse and buggy, walking, bicycle. So one-way streets are really a reflection of that orientation for the car. So one of the things I like to say, and I say in the report, is, you know, if you think about it, it's really interesting. Before, like at the turn of the century, we had a lot of our stuff delivered. You'd get your milk delivered and your eggs delivered, and if you bought something in town, it would be delivered. And then post-war, when we started to orient everything towards the car, we all became our own delivery vehicle, which is not very efficient. But with that happening, what they really started to look at from a transportation perspective is just how do we get cars through really, really quickly? And they started to not look at some of the other issues, like how does that impact the walking environment? How does that impact it as a those blocks, that block grid as a shopping environment? How does that impact people who want to drive around that environment? Because they became really obsessed with how do we get people through.
That makes sense. I can see. But what you're really talking about is you want the streets to be friendly so that people will stop and then they'll say, oh, well, I'll go in and have a latte here. I'll go in and buy a little gift at Finware, whatever.
Yeah. And it is just like a store. So if you walked into a store and you were only allowed to walk down certain aisles one way and other aisles another way, you would leave that store. And that's exactly what happens to people. And it even happens to locals. I remember when we were coming back from the tour. So we're on the bus and we're coming back from Mississippi Avenue and we're approaching downtown. And everyone, you know, lives in Astoria who's on this bus, except for me. And the bus driver's like, okay, what is the best street to turn down so I can efficiently get to City Hall? And then a debate ensued between the 8 to 10 people in the front of the bus on, you know, the proper way to turn and get there. And with a two-way street grid, you shouldn't have to worry about that. You turn where you want, and you can get where you want very directly. You don't have to worry about sort of the crazy route that the street grid is going to take you on.
That makes perfect sense. So you looked at, you know, what does it look like? And I was fortunate enough to attend your presentation. You had a video of, you know, driving in Astoria, and you saw an awful lot of beige. And after the presentation, I think all of us wanted to run out and get buckets of bright paint and just kind of start doing things. But so, all right. So what else did you find in your report that you presented on last week?
So I'm still talking more about what was in the presentation?
Yes.
Okay. So the last two pieces of the store that we really talked about quite a bit were fixtures and products. And so in a store, you've got, you know, shelves and things that hold and display your products, and then you have the products themselves. And so for a downtown, that is your buildings. Your buildings are displaying your products, which are your stores. And so we kind of looked at those individually. And, you know, you obviously in downtown have a collection of buildings that people like me weep over in light because they're so fantastic. But wherever possible, we would like you guys to use paint and color to really highlight their incredible historic features. One of the things I like to say is you can take a fantastic business and put it into a crappy building, and that crappy building is going to negatively impact that business. And conversely, you could take a marginal business and put it in a spectacular building, and that spectacular building is actually going to positively impact that business. So the way in which you're displaying your products is really meaningful. And right now you have this incredible building stock. And even with some minimal changes, like removing some awnings and opening up the faces of these buildings and using some paint, you can really transform a lot of downtown. One of the problems with living in such a gray climate is if you have gray streets and gray buildings and a gray sky for, you know, two-thirds of the year, it makes your downtown invisible. So I really want people to think about, and property owners also, the businesses are going to be more stable and do better in your buildings when they look better, just because you're displaying products more effectively. Okay. And then on the product side, you know, the businesses, we kind of talked about some of the mechanics of retail. And because these ground floor products, we actually did a workshop in February where we asked stakeholders in downtown, so Astorians, what their favorite or most beloved or leading businesses were. And all of the businesses that were listed were ground floor businesses. They were access businesses. They were local businesses. And so those are the things that we take identity from in our downtown. So we talked about how we kind of improve those businesses, how we make sure that those products are really telling a great story all the time. And there's kind of a variety of things that we talked about. One of them that is my favorite is that idea that downtown is a sensory experience. And so the places we love the most, and a farmer's market is a great example of it. I mean, a farmer's market is this magical, beloved place, and it's really, you know, made of sort of affordable tents and beat-up banquet tables, but it's a multi-sensory experience. You hear people playing music, and you smell food, and you taste food, and you try things, and you touch things. So it's this experience that encompasses all of your senses, and it's very, very engaging. And that's something that every retailer and restaurateur needs to think about, all of the ways in which they're engaging people's senses when they're in a downtown store.
That's a very important point. And I think one of the things that local folks maybe would be concerned about, though, would be, we don't want you to yuppify our downtown. We don't want it to be too pretty. We want it to still maintain that gritty authenticity. And so how does one address that issue?
Well, so there are several things. I actually, you know, informally polled lots of people that I know who love Astoria or go to Astoria. And one of the things that somebody mentioned, for instance, was Astoria Coffee House. they loved how it looked on the outside, and it was really cool. But they also loved on the inside. There was a real sort of sense of shabby chic going. It wasn't trying to be, you know, too pretty, as you mentioned. But one of the things that I talk about in the report is there. The thing that you're talking about really goes beyond how the buildings look. And it's this deeper idea that downtown needs to remain a place that people who work in Astoria can continue to live. So you have to think about housing policy. Right now in your downtown, you have a lot of expensive Victorians on the hill, and you've got some affordable housing in the downtown. You don't have a lot of products in the middle, which is a problem. And as downtown continues to grow and improve, you want to ensure that you have housing for a wide variety of people in your downtown. So you want to have the whole range of housing. You don't want to become a place that just has expensive housing or second home housing. So that's one of the key ways that you keep a place real.
Absolutely.
Another one is mix of uses, and that's something that I'm going to talk about a little bit more as I talk about sort of economic development. But it's really important that you keep some of these light industrial or showroom manufacturing kinds of uses in downtown, because it's a working river town. We want to have the sense that there are things being made there still and things being produced or processed. Fort George Brewery is a great example of that kind of business. They're manufacturing beer, but they also have this retail front on what they're doing, and those kinds of businesses are the ones that they're locally owned. They provide employment downtown. They provide positive identity downtown. And those are the kinds of businesses that we want to see improve and thrive in downtown.
Exactly. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today my guest is Michelle Reeves. Michelle is an urban strategist. She is based in Portland. She has a firm, Civilis Consultants, and she's been working for the last almost year with the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association, looking at the revitalization of downtown Astoria. What are we doing well and what could be improved upon? And she gave a presentation. She has a full report that's due out on April 15th and with recommendations. And we're talking with her about some of her thoughts and ideas. You weren't able to cover everything in your presentation, and I know that in the second half of the program we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that people will be seeing in your report, which is coming out on the 15th and which will be available on your website, and Astoria Downtown Historic District Association will make it available as well.
Yep, that's going to be coming up.
What are some of the things in the report that you weren't able to address when you gave your presentation last week?
So after we kind of talked about downtown store, I touched very briefly on some things that you have to think about in terms of policy for the entire store. And I also touched briefly on things you want to think about in telling the story of downtown store. And those are the sections that are much longer in the report. And I want to touch off on a few of those there. One of the first things that I want to talk about is economic development. So the traditional model for economic development used to be that you would try and recruit companies to come in and do things in your town and bring sort of working wage manufacturing jobs. That is actually a model, that recruitment model, is really dying for a variety of reasons, one of which manufacturing is utterly changing. So new manufacturing facilities now are largely automated if possible, and they're run by kind of a PhD and a janitor, and there's not a lot of people in between. So communities need to really start looking to how they create economic development from within. So some of the examples I'll use is Standpoint, Idaho has a town of 5,000 is home of Lighthouse Salad Dressing, which is the second largest refrigerated salad dressing manufacturer in the country, and that is a homegrown company. It's also home of Clearwater Creek, which is a large women's clothing catalog and bricks and mortar store. Again, a homegrown company. Funnelbox is one of the fastest growing companies in the state of Oregon, and they're located in downtown Oregon City, partly because the owner used to be from downtown Oregon City. So you want to figure out how to find companies that are doing and making interesting things in Astoria and how to promote them and make them grow into the companies that you really want to see for the future. And the role that plays in downtown, for instance, let's take Forestry. So logging has always been a big part of Astoria's history. And I know Astoria has a ton of amazing woodworkers and woodcrafters in your community. So what if in downtown you had a series of shared spaces, maybe some shared woodworking equipment as well, and people with small studios to be able to make finished products from the things that you're logging and do the value added there instead of shipping it off. And then you have a shared store for all of those crafters to be able to sell.
That's such a wonderful idea. I'm looking at our time and thinking that we don't have too much time to talk about some of these points. But what one of the things that I like about your presentation and that's we're all looking forward to reading the report is that you have kind of a takeaway thing of here are some things that you can do. Here are some stages. Can you talk a little bit about that?
In terms of
your recommendations of things that can be done.
Right. In terms of how I structure my work, it's a little bit different than how people in this field typically do it. So I really try to sit down with a pile, really, of recommendations. And some of those are things that people can be doing tomorrow. Some of those are things that people can be doing next month. Some of those are things that people can be doing a year or multiple years from now. And I really try to think about things that will hit every possible stakeholder groups. What does the city need to be doing? What do businesses need to be doing? What do property owners need to be doing? What can residents do? What can people do who are passionate about the arts or the river or those kind of things? How do they contribute to this idea of downtown stores? So we want to find something that everyone can be passionate about, and that's how things get done.
And you have, what I love is that you're working on creating a shared vision and then bringing that vision to life through a series of, you know, of concrete goals and action items. And so there's some long-term ones, there are some short-term ones, and all of that is in the report. Were there some things you discovered that you didn't expect after you did all of this research and in your findings and in your meetings and everything that you did? What surprised you?
You know, actually, one of the biggest things that surprised me was what I called the pit parking in my report. It was funny. I had this sense throughout my time in Astoria that there was something sort of nagging me at the back of my head where I would say there's almost more of a sense of decay in Astoria than there should be, because I would look at the buildings or the businesses and I was like, why do I have this sort of nagging feeling in the back of my head? And as I was doing some of my mapping projects, it occurred to me, because Astoria is an elevated city, when you lose a building, it goes down into the earth, and it's this sort of open wound in the environment. And so you have all of these places in your downtown that are blocked by iron piping fencing or chain link fencing, and it's a very unusual feature in a downtown. I mean, I've never seen it in another downtown. And there's a lot more of it than you think. So when I set out to actually photograph it all, even I was surprised at how much there was once I realized it was there. But it was really interesting because it wasn't until February that I actually put my finger on how much of that there was and how much of an impact that it was actually having. And that's actually one of the reasons in the report I talk about, as you guys attract infill new construction, you really want to target some of those wounds where you can to kind of heal the built environment and those buildings that are missing, because subconsciously we know that there's stuff missing everywhere. And that lends kind of a little bit of a feeling of almost sadness to downtown.
That's a very interesting point. And I know that you address parking, which of course all locals would say, you know, and even visitors would say, you know, we'd love to stop and shop, but where's the parking? And you address that issue. Do you want to mention a little bit about how you address that?
So, yeah, I mean, one of the things that I did was I mapped all the off-street parking spaces in town. And there was actually a gasp in the presentation when I put that map up, and I asked people, what is this map of? And when people realized that it was all the parking, they were pretty astonished. So it'll be fun for people who haven't seen it to look at the report and actually see that image. And what successful downtowns do that manage all of their parking resources is they work together with both the public on-street supply and the private off-street supply, and they figure out how to manage this limited resource to the benefit of everybody. And the towns that do that successfully are able to see huge increases in economic output, and it's really important that the community get together and figure out the best way to manage all of these parking resources for the benefit of the entire store.
So when you suggested that there be a shared a parking visioning, you know, a session that not only were you inventorying what the parking is, but that everyone get together and talk about what is this vision.
Yeah. So there's a couple key things. One is you want to kind of go over a parking 101 because most people don't understand how parking actually works in a mixed-use district. And I think it's a good idea to bring in a parking expert. There's actually happens to be a national expert who is in Portland who's really great at that, Rick Williams. So just kind of a 101 of how parking works in a downtown, you have to do that before you talk about it because a lot of people don't understand how it works. And then the second thing you have to do is you have to, as a community, prioritize your parking. So who is going to benefit from parking first, second, third, and fourth? And most communities that want to see high economic output, they prioritize the visitor, whether it's a local visitor or a tourist. And the goal is to try to have one open space on the street at all times on every block. And you manage all of your parking to that goal.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, we could talk for hours because you have so many wonderful ideas and so much energy. We just have a few moments left. So what last things would you like the listening audience to know? Obviously, we're going to tell them where they can access this report, which I think is valuable and will be coming out on the 15th for everyone. So what would you like the listening audience to know at this point?
I just say, and as I opened with my presentation, downtown has a huge role to play in catalyzing Astoria's next chapter. And to make sure that role is as strong as it can be, everyone's going to have to roll up their sleeves and get in there and get to work. So I think everyone needs to talk to the ADHDA and figure out how they can help. They should join the ADHDA. Sherry Stewart from Oregon Main Street, who's also been working on this program, she said one of the things she heard when she talked to a lot of people about downtown is they would talk about they. Good words. They're doing a great job. You know, things are going well in downtown. I love what they're doing. But we really want to hear people saying we. And it really is going to take engagement from all those stakeholder groups, from residents, from businesses, from property owners, and from the public sector. Everyone working together, you guys can really take downtown to the next level if everyone participates.
Michelle, that's such a valuable suggestion because you're right. We tend to think of they, you know, ADHA or they or the city, they. No, it's we. You're right.
Yep.
All of us who live here, all of us who care about this special place, we are all part of it. And so we have a stake in what happens. We're stakeholders. Everyone's a stakeholder.
Yeah.
So it's not, yeah, locals and visitors and the shopkeepers. In your report, you have concrete suggestions, things that we can all do, and then what will be the next steps? Obviously, when the report comes out, I guess we will all put our heads together and say, okay, Michelle says we could implement this, quickly, and it would be, wouldn't be that expensive, and so perhaps that's our goal. Was that what you'd like to see us doing?
Well, Oregon Main Street, that's the part where they've been doing a lot of capacity assessment of the structure of your organization. And they're going to be walking through with the Downtown Association through the report and saying, okay, what are our priorities? What are the things we want to do tomorrow? And then helping you guys figure out the best way to kind of implement those things where people have passion and they want to see those changes made first. And so the Downtown Association and Oregon Main Streets are going to collaborate together with all the stakeholders who want to be engaged and start undertaking some projects.
Oh, Michelle, thank you so much. Thank you for all the work you've done. I'm excited to look at the report, and I know we're going to be seeing a lot more of you in Astoria because you, even though this project is complete at this point in terms of where we have your report, your suggestions, I think there's going to be an ongoing relationship with Michelle Reeves and Civilis Consulting. So thank you so very much, Michelle.
Thank you, Donna, for having me on the show. And I certainly hope that that's true because Astoria is a fantastic community and it's just a delightful place to work.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, all right. Michelle Reeves, and her report will be out on April 15th. You can contact the Astoria Downtown Historic District Association. They have a website. You can just Google Astoria Downtown Historic District. And also, she is with Civilis, C-I-V-I-L-S, Consultants in Portland. Thank you so much, all of you who listened to this program. Thank you, our engineer, Terry Wilson, the engineer extraordinaire, and also local talented banjo instructor, Michael Bruin, for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. with gratitude for all the good things in your life. Focus on those good things. Expand them. Focus on feeling good, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here, now, in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.